We give with joy. We give with a sense of responsibility to the glory of your name and to the excellency of your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, let's see if we can continue from where we stopped this morning. I will teach for 35 minutes. After teaching for 35 minutes, we will go to the practical session. That practical session will be like 20 or 25 minutes before we now end up with an intercessory session. And that will be determined by how much time is left when I finish doing part 1 and part 2, as the case may be. Hallelujah. Alright, can you turn your Bible quickly? Those of you that have been following the teaching, I will not have time today to recap. We'll be going straight to the point. It is needful for you to understand that we have an enemy. And if you study the scriptures and study the operation of the devil, the operation of Satan, you will find out that the average believer must be armed with an understanding of how the court system, the justice system of heaven functions. If you don't know how the justice system of heaven functions, you are likely going to be a perpetual victim in areas that you have legitimacy to liberty. You will yet be a victim of the activities of Satan coming to you and confronting you from the pavilion of the courtrooms of heaven. Hallelujah. Let me give you a scripture quickly to bring us back to the stage. That scripture will be Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. In the book of Joshua, chapter 7, from verse 2, the Bible says, "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is between Bet Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for there are but few. So they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water." This is a nation that just overcame Jericho. Please stay with me. Jericho is an impregnable military fortress. It was engineered in such a way that it was absolutely impossible for you. Oh my God. Pastor T, please help me find out. I'm ready for spiritual battles this night. So help me find out. If it has anything to do with demons, let me know how to attend to this issue. These guys just conquered Jericho. Jericho is a cuboid. You know what I mean by cuboid? When last did you see a cube of sugar? You know what a cube of sugar is? It has the same height, it has the same length, it has the same breadth, all through. That's how it is. The wall of Jericho, for your information, did not fall. That's not the Hebrew word that was used in that scripture. But English was in its primitive stage when the translations took place, and because of that, the only available word that was closest to describing what happened was fair. Amen? Walls fair. The walls didn't fall. Because if the wall of Jericho had fallen, it would be the same height as it was when it was standing. It's a cuboid. Do you understand that? If you roll a cube over, it is the same height. If you turn it this way, it is the same height. That was how the wall of Jericho was. If you still remember your Bible, the house of Rahab, the harlot, the foundation of her house was the wall of Jericho. Imagine that kind of wall that was able to play the role of foundation for other houses. And historical perspective gathered that 7 war horses could ride side by side on the wall of Jericho. It was impregnable. And so in order for Joshua to conquer the wall of Jericho, there's a secret about Israel that Joshua had to be told. And that secret was that it was not every member of the Israeli military that was human. There was an angelic horde that was attached to the military of Israel. And when Joshua assessed the situation and saw that it was impossible to defeat the men of Jericho, he went to meditate, and God occasioned a situation where his eyes beheld the captain of the angelic side of the army. And unfortunately for Joshua, he didn't know how to address that captain adequately. He brought a human question. A human question that a general will want to ask in a battle situation. Are you for us or against us? That's how generals speak. But unfortunately for him, his addressing that angelic captain was wrong. That address was wrong. And part of the consequences of addressing that captain like that was that he was sentenced, him and his entire army, to walk round Jericho for 7 days, and 7 times on the 7th day, mute, because he spoke too much. After accomplishing the 7th round, you know, when he walked round, armed up, and they were saying nothing. By the time they went round the wall the first time, on the 7th day, 2nd time, 3rd time, in that silence, they recognized that there was another army that was marching. There are several times you need to take an oath of silence. Just decide not to speak for 3 days. Only speak to God. Don't speak to human beings. Okay, that's not possible for you. All right. So it means that there are several strategies of spiritual warfare that cannot be accomplished in your life because your life is scattered. You don't have control, no discipline over your faculties. You will be a liability in warfare. And so Joshua, when he took his army round 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, then what he did was Shabak. Shabak is one of the words for praise in the book of Psalms. Shabak is that word for praise, which means a shout, a spontaneous shout that is propelled by a spiritual urge that has the capacity to bring inner ventilation to your spirit. Has it ever happened to you before? You were under an anointing, and the only way you could feel better was to shout. That's Shabbat. So Joshua and his armies Shabbat. And the implication of their Shabbat was that that Shabbat became the instruction that the angels received to march on and take on Jericho first. And what the angels did was that they stood on the walls of Jericho and they stamped on it and the walls submerged. Even recent archaeology has discovered that. So after taking a nation like Jericho, you are likely to underestimate other nations round about. And when they sent scouts to look upon the land of Ai, they came back and said, "Oh, the guys are few. Don't bother the whole army. Just take 2,000 men or 3,000 men and you smite them." There was some form of superiority complex that was beginning to enter into this equation because of the victory that had been secured over and against Jericho. But unfortunately, when they implemented the plan and 3,000 soldiers went against Ai, they fell in the day of battle. What exactly did Joshua do about this situation? Joshua 7 verse 6. "And Joshua rained his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until evening tide." That means Joshua decided to fall before the Lord from morning. He remained there till evening. What was he doing? He was trying to inquire of the Lord. Because when an activity takes place that is contrary to the expectations that we have in the covenant that we have with God on the basis of the work of the cross, it is worthy of an inquiry. It is when you conduct an inquiry that you will understand the position of the justice system of heaven that allowed that eventuality to take place. Then you will know how to begin to undo the advantages that Satan has secured in the court of heaven using hyperbreed superlative knowledge that is transmitted by the Holy Ghost. So the first thing to do when you notice that there are symptoms around your life that suggest that anti-scriptural realities are beginning to find expression is to conduct an inquiry. Joshua decided to lay before the Lord from morning till when? Evening time. Was it that God went on a journey? Why didn't God answer him in the morning? There is a rule in seeking the face of God. The Bible says, "You will seek the Lord and find him when you seek with all of your heart." And only God has the instruments and the faculties and the facilities to measure how much of our heart is engaged in our search. He will never show up until he has ascertained that the whole of your heart, the whole of your life depends upon that inquiry. If you have an extra support system, an extra confidence that your heart is placed upon, God will not be obligated to respond to you until the position of that your confidence is wearied in the presence of God. If you have, you know, in order for us to come under prayer attack, there's something we call prayer attack. Those are the spiritual transmissions that Satan makes available in order for us not to make the most of seasons of inquiry when we stand before God. One of them is anxiety in the soul. It's a state of haste that is locked up in your soul when you come for prayer. If that state of haste is still in your soul, you will not be able to access the mind of God on the issue. A little digression is needed for us to understand the kind of things that befall us when we intend to inquire of the Lord. When your soul is noisy and your soul is hasty, you cannot find the mind of God. And so God will give you time until the oscillatory motion that is going on in your soul quietens, and you become flat and quiet in the entire inner membrane before God decides to stand up in his majesty to begin to give you perspective. If you are going to wait until God comes, it means you are humble enough and you acknowledge that outside of God's intervention, there can be no hope. That's the culture of seeking the face of God. If you have another plan apart from God's plan, you are likely to be wearied by the time interval that it will take for God to respond to you. And the Bible says that Joshua tarried before the ark from morning until evening time. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. We say, we are nothing. We are just dust before you. Can you have mercy on us? Can you look upon us with mercy and show us the position from your perspective to understand this circumstance and situation? The Bible says that in God is the fountain of life, and in His light we shall see light. The meaning of that is this: God, oh my God, are you here? The presence of God that is in your heart, if you have given your life to Christ, operates like a fountain, something that surges from within, surges from the realm of God. And the Bible says that it is when that fountain comes with illumination that you can see a matter and understand it accurately. Every form of understanding that you draw, which is not occasioned by God's light, is a false emphasis. And you cannot prosecute anything in the layer of the invisible realm with false lights. The Bible speaking about John the Baptist, that there was a witness that John the Baptist brought, and that witness was the true light. Was a witness about Jesus, who happens to be the true light that lightens every man that cometh into the world. If you are going to operate in the court layer, in the courtroom of God, you will need light. And that light can only be occasioned sufficiently by God. It is a light that comes through God that can become a handle through which you can prosecute the proceedings of justice in the realms of the court of heaven. Next verse here. Where's my technical man has gone to sleep. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou brought all these people over Jordan to deliver us into..." Next verse. Oh my. Alright. Sorry. Let me just use my own Bible. "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" This guy is making a case before God and say, okay, if the nations will hear that Ai defeated us and all our enemies will arm themselves with a confidence that we have become weak, and they will try to take an attempt, they will try to strike at our weakness and cut us from the earth. If we are cut from the earth, what will it do to your name? Won't they say you are a weak God too? This is a man that understands the court thing, how to argue in court. And these were the arguments, this was the substance of his inquiry before God, trying to secure the mind of God on the matter, trying to secure the hand of God on the matter. When he said that, God began to respond, and the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up, wherefore liest thou dost upon thy face?" God is saying, stand up. Why are you lying on your face? That means, from God's perspective, Joshua was not supposed to be lying on his face. He's lying on his face to inquire, because he doesn't know why Israel fell in battle. And then God shows up and says,
Why are you here? Stand up. He said, Israel has sinned. You see, you are not with me. Do you realize that Joshua didn't know that Israel has sinned? So he was still expecting victory in battle because that was a guarantee that God gave that house. Because any day you have occasion to stand in battle, don't worry about the consequences. You will see my wonders. It was a taboo for Israel to fall in battle. And Joshua knew the implication. And because God was a righteous judge, he went to God to inquire. And the Holy Spirit told him that there was sin in the camp. The reason for which they fell in battle was what? You are not with me. Because of that sin that was in the camp, the devil had taken that issue to the court of heaven and secured justice for them to suffer on the account of what was found in the camp. So this loss that they had in the face of battle was an indication of the fact that there was justice that was being administered against them. And Joshua knew that was why he went and lay face down before God. Many of us see signs, many of us see symptoms of things that take place which are not things we should expect if our walk with God is consistent and it doesn't mean anything to us. It's just like a man that has been violated and he doesn't take the matter to court. It means the man has latitude to cope with the violations that are taking place. No justice proceedings are taken because the man can accommodate the trespass that has been brought against him. He can accommodate the violations that he's going through, and it's not so much of a matter. People that are not used to inquiring of the Lord about little circumstances that are aberrations that have manifested themselves and over and against their destiny can never have the position of God's testimony, which is a critical aspect of doing business in the court of heaven. Is that clear? Alright. So when last did you go to God to inquire about your inability to marry? And every time you visit pastor and say, I'm 36, so put that on notice and let it affect your knees. Joshua did not outsource this prayer. Joshua went before the Lord and he wanted God to bring illumination about the matter. When God brought illumination, God revealed that there was sin in the camp, and it was a sin of Achan that kept things in store, things that were supposed to be hallowed unto the Lord. He kept them within his tent with the intention to use those hallowed things to prosecute his own personal business. And that was sufficient violation before God. And Satan, knowing the constitution of that court, knowing the constitution that the court operates with, understood that a violation had taken place, and he had gone to court quickly to secure permission to begin to implement. Are you with me? To implement the judgment that accrues to that level of violation. Our God is an extra holy God, is an extra righteous personality. Don't think that you can break the laws of God and go scot-free just because the blood of Jesus is available. If we confess our sins, the Bible says he is faithful and he is just. No, you are not with me. Are you here? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And you thought that the only thing involved was sin. But there is a protocol to undoing sin and also undoing the effect of sin. He is faithful and he is just. So faithfulness and justice must marry together in order for God to pardon someone that has offended. Because all you are seeing is that you can secure forgiveness. Okay, let me show you what happens. Are you with me? He is faithful to the covenant. In response to the blood of Jesus, he will forgive. But there's a justice aspect of your error, such that even though he has forgiven, that aspect of justice must be administered in order for him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Oh, you don't believe that? You know, David went and took somebody else's wife, slept with her. And the implication of that adultery, because adultery was a capital offense in the laws of God, and every capital offense that you commit, you are stoned to death. So David now arranged and killed the husband of the woman that is supposed to press charges against this act of adultery. You are not with me. So that there will be nobody to press those charges before the court. Oh my God, you are not here. Can you stay with me? I beg you. And then guess what happened? The prophet now went and brought the perspective of the court to David, the court of heaven. Even though there was no physical human there that would press charges against David, Nathan the prophet went to David and brought a parable. And David himself pronounced judgment on himself. When David went and hit the ground and asked for mercy, God forgave him, but in order for him to be cleansed from unrighteousness, justice will have to prevail. It was that justice that deposed David from the throne for a time. Oh, you are not with me. The hypergrace preacher will come and make you a victim of the realities in the court of heaven. Because you think that the moment the sin is forgiven, I'm back. There is a justice that will yet be accomplished. And that justice is to ensure that you don't partake of that sin again. It will be so grievous that it will lick up the appetite and the tendency for you to be back on track in that area of sin again. The devil is a bad devil. You don't understand it. And he's well enlightened. He's a very, very extra excellent litigator in the court of heaven. The Bible says that he brings accusations before God concerning you day and night, so that he can receive permission from the court of heaven to bring justice, to bring judgment to you, because you have refused to comply with the requirements of the law. Did you get it to that point? So, having gotten it to that point, I need to teach you how to operate in the court of heaven. That invisible court is so powerful. It determines levels of actualization, levels of possibility. It determines extent, boundaries, and limits. It determines whether or not you can step into something that God is offering you from heaven. So, having understood this, I would like to bring a scripture to us quickly. Can I bring a scripture? Remember what we said this morning, because if you were not here this morning, you might not understand the legitimacy of what we are doing. Because I'm still hearing somebody quote a scripture from the background there, and the person is saying, what about the scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation? All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We tackled that this morning. How many of you were here when we tackled that? So get the tape, and you will see the argument of scripture on that matter. Is that clear? Or should we go back again? Alright, Isaiah chapter 41 verse 21. Satan may not have a right to put a yoke upon you, but Satan may have a reason to put that yoke. Just like Satan has no right to make Israel fail in battle, but Satan was able to secure a reason, there was sin in the camp. And because of the sin that was in the camp, Satan had a reason before Israel in the court of heaven, and because it's a court of righteousness, God had to give Satan the position he was seeking to bring judgment to Israel on the account of that departure from God's ideal that Israel had sustained. And you will find out what Joshua did in order to take away the right that Satan had, the legality that Satan had in the court of heaven. Are you with me? Oh, you're not with me. He used the principle of restitution again. They were able to trace the fact that it was Achan's family that was responsible for the sin that made God turn his back against Israel. And they isolated Achan and brought judgment on Achan. And the moment that happened, Satan lost his ground in the court of heaven. And then they received strategy on how to conquer Ai. And the thing that was a trouble to them, they took on Ai in one sweep. And all of that reproach was overtaken by reason of the fact that they had gained alignment with the justice system of heaven. Are you still here? All right. So, Satan has reasons against you. Just in case you find that there's an area of your life that is not manifesting the way the Word of God had said it should manifest. It might be you that is living in disobedience. It might be something that Satan picked up from your lineage and is using it to press charges against you. It might be a wickedness that you administered to maybe a housemaid that you brought to stay with you, and you were wicked to the person. And Satan had occasion to press charges against you because you were drawing from the virtue of Jesus that loved you and you don't love your neighbor. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Alright, can we do Isaiah chapter... So when you come to the court of heaven, this is how to begin your journey. Because before a lawyer comes to court, he builds his case. So Satan, before he goes to court in heaven, he will build a case against you. Are you there? It is not something you do haphazardly. So when you come to court to discuss with God about the matter, verse 21 of Isaiah chapter 41 says, "Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob." It didn't say bring forth reasons, it bring forth strong reasons. Because the devil has brought forth reasons why you should be under a yoke. So you need to go there with stronger reasons. If the devil says you were wicked to your housemaid that stayed with you, and that is the reason why reproach must be your portion, and you know you are guilty. You know, I told you the skill. Anytime you discover you are really guilty, what you do is present the blood. The blood becomes an avenue for you to secure the mercy of God. There is something in jurisprudence called pardon. And the basis for the greatest pardon that we can have before God is the blood of Jesus. But I'm going to explain what the blood of sprinkling means this time. Is that clear? So you bring your strong reasons. The reason why that judgment must not be on your life. The reason why you should conceive. The reason why you should marry. You bring it to God. Present it to. Keep presenting it. And don't stop presenting it until you get a feedback. That's the way of the court. The court case continues until the judge makes an utterance. It is the utterance of the judge that changes your status quo. Oh, you're not with me. I know people that don't like speaking God are offended at this presentation that I'm making. Because this presentation has already sentenced you to a life of seeking God. I showed you yesterday in the book of Luke chapter 18 verse 1. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." The way man was designed, he was designed an object of prayer. There's no aspect of victory that you gain in God that there was not a prayer element that was attached to it. Because you are designed as a creature of prayer. And if, you know, some situations you are in, it is proven as if it is impossible for it to change. I'm telling you, there's a change, but the change is still in prayer. But this prayer is not praying with ignorance. It's praying understanding how the justice system of heaven works. That's the prayer that will bring about the breakthrough that your life so desperately needs in order for you to catch up with what God is saying about you and what God wants to do in your life at this time. So you need to come to court with your strong reason. Hallelujah. You need to come to court with your strong reasons. I don't want to go too far. But I found out, as I told you yesterday, that I knew my grandfather at 110 years old. He had a straight back. He was not using spectacles. And he was not using a walking stick. He was not using a cane. He was looking for death, and there was no death available to him. Then in the generation of my father, they couldn't live beyond the 60s. 62, 61, 64. Life expectancy in my family was now reduced by half. And when you find that a pattern is consistent, there is a spiritual reason why it is so. It's an issue of justice and judgment. And I went before God and asked God, I said, what is this terrible thing that I'm seeing here? And he showed me a long line of people that were seeking to familiar spirits and walking in the art, the abominable art of necromancy. Hallelujah. So I presented the blood because I'm guilty. Our lineage is guilty. We were supposed to be preachers and priests of Jesus, but that priesthood was manipulated and it was being serviced by darkness. You understand what I'm telling you? So I began to plead. I began to plead before the court. When the court accepted to hear my case, what God told me was that, you see, some of these symptoms that are manifesting is as a result of several sacrifices that were done that the devil is pressing charges against you. And if you are going to be the intermediary, the priest, the prophet, that is going to take the challenge to undo these things, the Lord told me that there has to be an equilibrium. Now, see, how many of you know how the beam balance of justice looks like? Do you know what a beam balance is? Every time you go to court, you will see the lady of justice carrying a beam balance. What God was trying to make me understand was that the left side of the beam balance was under the weight of demonic sacrifices. It was like this. Before he will bring justice, there must be what? Equilibrium. That equilibrium is going to come with terrible sacrifice. That's what God told me. Are you ready to pay the price, or I should wait for your son? No, many of you are not ready to do real spiritual business. Oh my, okay. It seems I'm talking to the wrong congregation. You know what? Okay. Don't worry. It's all right. Let's change the message and give you. I have others. Thou crownest the year with goodness. That's also a message. Say there are sacrifices. You will pay a price. I said, don't look to my children. Let's begin this journey now. Oh, some of you don't believe that what I heard from God is biblical. So, wait. I need to show you from the scripture so that you will be sure that what I'm talking is scripture. Okay, let's go to Zechariah chapter 2. The reason why I'm taking my pains to do this study is because many things written against your family, many things written against your community. This night, by the priesthood that we're going to raise, some of those grounds of legality that Satan has held to bring perpetual judgment, there are communities that have been invaded, killed. Nothing is happening. There will be an agitation for 2 weeks, and after 2 weeks it dies. I know better. The reason why there is nothing happening when people are caught up in those places. Their legality is against them. Listen, if Christians are you a student of the Bible? Anytime there's persecution and Christians are killed, Christians that are walking righteously before God, if they are killed, their blood cries. The next thing you will see is that Jesus will appear. Just like Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus, that was going to Damascus with letters from the chief priest to bring people that were the people of the way to justice. Because the people he was persecuting were people that were in alignment with God, Jesus appeared. Are you still listening to the news and you know that Jesus is appearing in the Middle East? Why? Those believers are right with God. If you bring persecution to them, Jesus will show up. And if Jesus didn't show up for your community, there's a case in court. Anything you do other than understanding the status of that court concerning the matter is in the flesh. It has no significance whatsoever. I've worked with God long enough to know this. The court doesn't respond to sympathy. It doesn't respond to pity. You come and you are naked on Facebook and say, "Cheers!" Nothing will happen. That's not how to begin the proceedings. It's obvious I'm talking to the wrong people. I have another message, a good one, to tell you that next year will be good for you in the name of Jesus. I know how to say those things. It is not the preoccupation of a good prophet that is in active service of Jesus for him to give you false hope and tell you that good days are coming when he knows it's not true. That's not how our God works. If we are going to see a change, then we will need to rise up and begin to prosecute issues in the court of heaven. Now come with me to Zechariah chapter 3. Show you something quickly. If you are willing tonight to stand on behalf of your family, I say I stand as a representative. Many more times you will hear God say, "I stand." The justice, the judgment, the status in the court of heaven was arrayed against a people, against a territory, against an individual, against a family. And then God will cry out and say, "Oh my God, is there no man that can stand as a representative and take the heat so that the proceedings in court can begin?" My question to you tonight is, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect another? The time for a liberation as a nation, as a territory, has come. But if God has no man to stand in between heaven and earth, nothing will happen. And it is possible that even among those that are willing to pray, you can pray amiss. Tonight, just like it was said in the Songs of Solomon, we will cry, "Return, return, that we might look upon thee, so that his counsel concerning your family can come out, so that his counsel concerning the land can come out." In those days, in Bible days, in Old Testament days, it was the responsibility of the prophet to always stand between a territory and the curses that are in the land, so that he begins to interface with heaven and bring supplication. And the purpose of the supplication is so that he can find a ground, a place to wield the justice of God against the adversary. And you are that man that will stand for your people in the name of Jesus. Now you may be seated. Turn your Bible to Zechariah chapter 1. I'm trying to round up now. Now, Pastor T, I will come into this hall tomorrow by 6 o'clock. You can start doing your ceremonies. If I come, I begin to preach so that God will move here tomorrow so much. I don't want these ceremonies. Please. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." Joshua was summoned to court. The reason for which he was given a priesthood was to ensure that the people will not be victims of the activities of Satan. But the thing for which he was called was prevalent in the territory. So he was summoned to the court of heaven to answer to the justice system that is installed in that place. And when he made his way to court, Satan, what? Was standing where? By his right hand. To what? There are many of you under the sound of my voice that have been resisted by Satan. Satan was so bold, he took his resistance directly to God. It means that Joshua was not free in the city, and Joshua was not free in court. Satan was still there, holding his garments, standing by his right hand, and resisting. And the Lord said unto Satan, hear the way thrones war in court. The justice of thrones, how authorities wield their capacity before the throne of God, what determines people that live and people that die is within that landscape. Hallelujah. And Satan, God said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? I'll explain that. Verse 3 gives us an insight into why Satan had the audacity to resist Joshua. And the reason why Satan could resist Joshua was because Joshua had filthy garments. There was a life of filth that this prophet, this priest was exposed to. And he was doing it secretly. And he thought that nobody knew. But that his secret sin was public knowledge in the court of heaven. And it was the reason why Satan was standing to what? To resist him. So what God did in order to remove the ground that Satan had before that court was that, are you with me? God allowed a certain kind of suffering to come on Joshua. And Joshua could not break free from that suffering until that suffering had fulfilled, are you with me? Had fulfilled the extent of the devil's legitimacy. No, you don't understand what I'm talking about. The reason why God rebuked Joshua in court was because God allowed Joshua to suffer. And at this time, when they came to court, the suffering was equivalent to the trespass that Joshua had committed within that court. That's why Jehovah rebuked Satan and said, this man is a brand that has been plucked out of judgment. The suffering that he has been going through was judgment for that trespass. And right now, he has been removed from the judgment because he has fulfilled the judgment that is worthy in order for him to be declared righteous on that matter before the court of heaven. So, when a man comes in, and a man wants to stand for a people, the implication is that God may allow you to go through some suffering because of the people. Oh, you are not with me. I know you are not ready. You want to stand for a land. Read the prophets. Read about the prophets in the Bible. Prophets that prophesied to Israel when they were in sin. See what they suffered. Because their priesthood was not just all about themselves. Their priesthood was territorial. And in order for God many times to balance the scales of justice, judgment and equity, for God to have the right to call you out of the judgment you've been going through, you must need to go through a certain process that will make Satan's ground illegitimate, because you have fulfilled the necessary affliction that will take away Satan's ground from the jurisdiction that you are praying about. And so if we don't have a representative from every family that is willing to pay the price of priesthood so that that family can enter into the full scope of our ordination, if we still have that challenge, then we will need to wait for another generation. And that's why God is asking, and you, the one who is to come, or should we expect another? Priests and prophets among us will have to rise that are ready to take on the burden of priesthood and the attendant judgments and sufferings that will come in order for God to be willing to free Nigeria from the yoke that is upon her. The yoke that is upon her is a yoke of justice in the spirit. There are abominations that have been done in the territory that has made it possible for the devil's yoke to stand over the land. Some of the bloodsheds you have heard about were just tricks, inspirations from the kingdom of darkness to complicate our legal suit before God, and so that God would turn his face against us again as a nation for another season, and we will walk in darkness and everything will die. But the only hope we have is in priesthood, men that will wake up and say, I want to take a trip through the court of heaven and find out what will be required for us to take away the ground of legitimacy that Satan has against Nigeria. Zacharias was willing to go through the fire, was willing to go through some form of judgment. And when he went through that judgment, God was updating Satan and said, this brand was just plucked out of judgment recently, so you are rebuked, Satan. You no longer have that ground over his life. It was that day that his priestly ministry over the territory was reinstated from heaven. His priestly ministry was reinstated from heaven. It was that day in court he was given a place to stand among the immortals. That means there were secrets about the territory that will be shared to him, so that he can be more effective in becoming God's law enforcement agent within the landscape. I came to prophesy to you that in the days to come, you will see real people that have been sent by God, real prophets that have the secrets of God for various territories, that will begin to rise from our numbers, and Nigeria will be free. We have seen the occultic invade the church. We have seen darkness come over the house of God, and it has lingered. It is now obvious that we no longer have a voice that the nation can respect. It is because we have no stature in the court of heaven as a nation. But tonight, the Lord will commission a new set of priests. A new set of priests will be commissioned. Men that will be given the right of way to stand in heaven's court. You will have a position like a senator has a seat in the Senate House. There are seats in the courts of heaven that will be allocated to accurate prophets that stand over territories and stand over nations. That's the reason why God could not do anything except he came to his friend Abraham to report, because Abraham was a senator. He was a warden of his time. He had a place in the courts of heaven. His ears could hear whispers that came from eternity. There is a new wave of the Spirit of God that is hitting our land. Oh my God. I sense that fire tonight. If you are with me, say hallelujah. I saw that this was a time for our liberty as a nation, that the continent of Africa was coming out of the woods, coming out of the swamp, coming out of darkness. There is a great light that is determined to shine upon Africa, and her destiny will be unveiled. Oh my God, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect another? Tonight the Lord Jesus comes. He comes with fire in his eyes, so that he can raise priests that can stand in the courts of heaven. I kaborema siko paskito mantelima. Who will stand on behalf of the family? Who will stand on behalf of the territory? Who will God look to in order to bring revival to Kaduna? Who is ready to pay the price for darkness to lose ground? Is this not a brand that has been plucked out of the fire? Is this not a brand that has been plucked out? Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, will you come again? Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy faith. Emmanuel, when you come to reign. Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, will you come again? Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, when you come to reign. Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, will you come again? Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, when you come to reign. Oh, 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 oh. Oh,
Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name, Emmanuel. Will you come again, Emmanuel? And the church will see your holy face, Emmanuel. When you come to it, all the churches calling your name, Emmanuel. Will you come again? And the church will see your holy faith, Emmanuel. When you come to reign. Will you come again, Emmanuel? And the church will see your holy face, Emmanuel. When you come. He seeks a man among us. Someone that will stand for him. Someone that will pay the price so that he can have dominion. That's why we came tonight. Sigabata compe, Semine la Curia. Thank you, Lord. When you are there, 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 when you are there. When you are there, 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 when you are there. When you are there, when you are there, when you are there, when you are there, when you are there. The Holy Ghost comes tonight to separate men to a holy calling. Prophets, intercessors, that we press touches, we go into the courts and bring verdicts from God. The landscape of Christianity in Nigeria is changing. The day of intercessors and prophets have come. The corporate intercessory power of the house of faith. We do wonders in the land, in the nation, on the continent. Many men will be commissioned this night by the great power of God that is descending here. Arise, O God, and let your enemies be scattered. Ilabosin hikepoto alanto mokore. Aila misa kaila mokonda eita. Glory. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus. Men will be set apart by the glory of God. The church in Nigeria is about to experience a shift. This shift will come in the church of the north. A company of legislating Christians. And the rod of the Assyrian will be broken. Something is about to happen in northern Nigeria. That's why we came to pray. Because there is a grace that will come down here. Maika sila mahaitoma. Seto ke police kapela mantele. Misko pelete. As we commence the spiritual ceremony, you may wish to agree with God and say, I am available. I am ready. I am willing. I am here so that you can send me, so that you can use me. Can you agree with Him right now in your prayer? We agree with you. We agree with you. We agree with you. In the name of Jesus. All right, this is the moment we are waiting for. This is the moment. This is the moment. Can you keep quiet? You can keep quiet if you can. If you can, you can stop praying. This is the moment. The Lord told me that this night He wants to conscript people that He will work with. But the body of Christ in the north is entering a new phase. So He said we should come and proclaim.
the opening of the gate. These are the days of intercessors and prophets. The church, as we have known it in Nigeria, is about to shift. Many people that refuse to shift will become obsolete. The day of prayer has been heralded from heaven. Because the man of God that is risen now, we have a voice in the courtroom of God. Men like Milkiah that are in the visual environment of the courtroom, they can bring a more accurate prophecy. If you are here and you know you have been operating as an intercessor before now, not that you made up your mind, you've been operating. Put your hand on your stomach. When you put your hand on your stomach, keep quiet. Father, that moment has come. We stand in Kaduna, in northern Nigeria, to flag up the beginning of the new era. A company of prophets, company of priests, that will invade the landscape and bring about a change. Men that will not be tired to receive your counsel, to stay in the place of prayer. Men and women that will not be tired to carry your message, to fulfill your will. And so we ask that your mighty hand might be made manifest. The anointing that you need to do what God wants the church in Nigeria to do, it comes upon you tonight. Let the gates be open over the city of Kaduna in the name of Jesus Christ. You have been released. The hand of God will be strong upon you from this day henceforth. As you pray, heaven will respond. As you pray, heaven will respond. He will respond. You have feedback from the mouth of God. The coronation just began, and the Spirit of God will be touching people. Listen to me. Can you listen? Just listen.
Just listen. Just listen. The Lord sent me to Kaduna. And he said that this night will be a night of the opening of the gates. A new season comes upon the church in this land. Those of you here, can you lift your right hand here? Father, we need men, functionaries, that will operate, that will stand in the gap. And we ask that the anointing that they need to function in this capacity, let it begin to come on them. 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 Let it come stronger. 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 In the name of Jesus. Yes, here. Such as I have received from the Lord, I give unto you. Let it come stronger. Let the grace be strong. Let the grace be strong on you. Let the grace be strong on you in the name of Jesus. Such as I have received from the Lord, let it come upon you and let the grace be stronger. Let it be stronger. Let it be stronger. Let it be stronger. Let it be stronger. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Such as I've received from the Lord, let it come on you and let it be stronger. Let the grace rest. Let it rest. Let it rest on you. Let it rest on you. Let it rest. Let it rest. Holy Ghost. 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 Such as I've received from the Lord, I ask that you be given. Lord, choose from among these ones and let the grace rest. Let it rest. Let it rest. Let it rest. Let it rest. Holy Ghost, let it rest. Let it rest. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Holy Ghost. Those of you up there, can you see me? Father, in the name of Jesus, choose from among them and let the grace rest. Let it rest. Let it rest. Let it rest. Let it rest. Holy Ghost. 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 Move. Yes, those of you up there. Just the keyboard for now. Father, choose from among them and anoint. Anoint. Okay, it's coming. It's coming. Anoint. Anoint. Anoint them. 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 Holy Ghost. Those of you there, can you see me? Lord, I ask, lower your hand. Lower your hand on them. And let the grace rest. Let it 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 rest. In the name of Jesus. We are going to pray one more prayer as a congregation. And God will hear that prayer this night. If you are still here, say, Jesus! One more time, say, Jesus!
Can you say Jesus? And hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Can we pray? Two prayer points right now. First prayer point is for your family. I want you to locate something very terrible that you want God to touch in your family. Huh? And raise it as a prayer now. Now. Is there a sickness? Is someone about to die? Raise it now. Raise it now. Raise it now. God. Yes. Families that are here present and the petitions that have ascended into heaven, I ask that you look upon his family with mercy and stretch forth your hand. Let that yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. Let there be a sudden intervention in the name of Jesus. Let the door be open for these families in the name of Jesus. Second prayer point, can we pray about Kaduna State and say, Lord, enough is enough. Let the bloodshed end. Let it end. Can you cry right now to God? Let the bloodshed end. Let the bloodshed end in Kaduna. We pray for our city. We pray for our city. We pray for our city. Let the bloodshed end. We pray for Southern Kaduna. We pray for Northern Kaduna. We pray, oh God. Let the bloodshed end. Let the bloodshed end. Let it end, oh God. Let it end, oh God. Let it end, oh God. Let angels be released through the landscape of our city. Let the angelic be released through the landscape of our city. Let the bloodshed cease. Let kidnapping cease. We ask, oh God, arise. And let the enemy be scattered. Arise, O God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We call forth a new Kaduna. We call forth a new Kaduna. We call forth a new Kaduna. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, oh God. Yes, oh God. Let our prayers tonight ascend to you, oh God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A new state has come. God is bringing His will and forcing His will into our land. Can we say, Lord, we give you praise tonight for the things you have done, for what you are yet doing, and for what you will do. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Nina Yesu me bezem koma, bezem koma bayaba. Nasa hanuna hakan kekenoma bezem koma. Nina Yesu me, Nina Yesu. Declare it. Let the Prince of Kaduna hear it. Declare it, declare it. The Church of Jesus in Kaduna had come into a new ship. Today, Bezan Koma Nasa Hano. I can kick in no man. In a yes to me. We declare our allegiance to Jesus. Nasa Hanuna. I can kick in no man. Two more times. Two more times. Declare it. Let the Prince of Kaduna hear it. Hey, hey, hey.
One more time. Nina Yesune, Nina Yesune, Fazan Koba, Bayaba, Nasa Haduna, I can't take it no more.
Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you. We give you praise.